Put up your manos. Then was the time to unite all Chicanos, Latinos, and los Estados Unidos, and gay Puerto Ricans or even Cubanos. Look at our cultures. We have more common. Don't let them divide. These suckers are vultures. Either we standing together or better be standing aside. Now is the time. Don't know about you, but I'm gonna ride. We gotta climb. Fight for your veins, man. Where was your pride? Where were the gunners that you got inside? Look how our ancestors came to this country. They tried to be living the American dream. Don't throw it away. They promised you money and got you raging for the machine. Pick a new team. You flesh to lizard, but that is the system that you wanna bring. You need to think. We gotta fight communism, cause it looks like we on the brink. Connect all the links. A one-party system is taking the power from all of the people. We need to think. When will you listen? These people are evil and want you to think. So what is your plan? Hand in hand, we're standing together, cause it's the one never to do what you can. Please understand, we gotta do better, so walk us, remember that we took a stand. Escúchame. 24 es el año, si se puede. Lucha, lucha por la libertad. Órale, vamos.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Latino Free Minds, episode number 59. Another episode where we're calling it Know Your Candidate. As we said before on the ones that we've done, we want people to hear directly from candidates as much as they possibly can before they go vote, so that they're better informed when they do go vote, right? That's been the goal through this, and that's why we call it Know Your Candidate, because you got to know what you're going to who you're going to select, right? You can't just go in there and just start guessing. It's a terrible thing to do. And, you know, it's going to affect you, especially locally. So on this episode, we have Nick Wilson, who is running for State Assembly District 53, which I believe covers Los Angeles County and San Bernardino.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Nick, welcome. Thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing, man?
For having me. Good. Very good. Thank you for having me. I think what you guys are doing is awesome, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you, you know, making the run. There's a lot of people that I think that's the cool thing in kind of doing this, is we get to see all the people that, you know, in a sense had enough, right? And you know, entered the battlefield, so to speak. So, you know, it's good to see all the people that have risen up these past few years, because as a country, as a state, you know, we've gone through a lot, and, you know, it gets to a point where enough is enough. And I think this year is so important. I think a lot of people feel that way, and, you know, nothing better than seeing other people rise up also.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's what we're seeing more of, is regular everyday people, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers that are trying to take their state back and doing it the right way. So you're seeing a grassroots movement up and down the entire state. And that's the beauty of the will of the power of the people.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background, just to kind of, so people get to kind of know you a little bit.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah, for sure. So I was in law enforcement for 13 years and had a really great career. I worked patrol, was on the SWAT team. I worked investigations, worked undercover, worked white supremacy organizations to combat white supremacy, domestic extremism. I worked terrorism. And then I medically retired after 13 years due to injuries that I sustained, my back, my arm. And so when I retired, I started a nonprofit organization, which is mental health support for law enforcement, suicide prevention, because so many police officers every year die by their own hands, more so historically than in the line of duty. And so we started this organization. And I think when 2020 happened, everything really kind of turned around, right? Mm-hmm. I became a post instructor, so I teach cops in law enforcement mental health. But then we started seeing everything change in 2020, and it almost happened overnight. And what we saw, whether it was on a national level, a state level, a global level, there seemed to be an agenda. And we started seeing and hearing countless stories from our law enforcement professionals who were sending in things, sharing things that just seemed completely upside down. Mm-hmm. And we noticed that as politics became such a major factor. It started throwing our cops into crisis because they were being thrown under the bus. They were attacked with total impunity, and both physically, verbally, right? So there was that. And, you know, I'm a father, I'm married, I'm a father to an 8-year-old boy, and he's in the, you know, public school. And so I live here in Chino and friends with Sonia Shaw and some of the other school board members, and started hearing about what was going on in the schools. And I was in shock. And so I've been beating the, you know, the war drum on everything public safety for our cops, defending our cops and being out there visiting countless hospital rooms or going to countless funerals of law enforcement officers who were killed in line of duty because they essentially allowed criminal offenders to be empowered and more emboldened. And so we saw that happen. So my real red line after that was what was going on in the schools, because I don't think anyone that's reasonable wants their kids exposed to anything sexually explicit, pornographic. And I certainly don't believe that parents want secrets kept from them. So we are in a strange place in California, but the truth is we are, we're at a defining moment in our state, and our state impacts the rest of the nation. And I believe strongly, I hope we can get into some of these topics, but you know, at the end of the day, I had to be able to, I was asked to run, and I was like, that's crazy, 'cause I'm not a politician. And you know, I hate politics, actually. I love government. I love our constitution. I love our country, but politics isn't, you know, and when I saw who was running, you know, I had to be able to look at my wife and my son in the, at the end of the day and say that I tried.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Definitely, man. That's, you know, that's something where a lot of people, I feel, kind of when it comes to their kids, right? It's a line that you can't cross with a lot of people. And, you know, with a lot of the policies and whatnot that they've done here in the state, and it's in, you know, what they do at school with the curriculum, there's a lot of people that maybe, you know, don't even know it's happening, right? And that's the crazy part. But there is a lot of people that now are aware of it, and you can't cross that line when it comes to kids.
Right.
It's crazy that they even that they're even attempting it. But, you know, it's in a sense, it's unbelievable. But it's also not surprising, because that's how they do things. Right. And, sure. You know, me personally, we homeschool because, you know, our daughter's 9 and. It's something that, you know, as a parent, like you said, it's like, yeah, you don't want your kids, you know, exposed to those kind of things, right? Sexually explicit books, or just even, you know, they're young. They shouldn't be talking about anything related to sex, right?
Right.
At such a young age. So, you know, we homeschool, we got a little bit, you know, we got control over, you know, the curriculum and what we do, but a lot of people can't do that. Right. So, you know, it's good to have people that are fighting for the people that can't, you know, just take their kids out of school. So, you know, has that thought ever crossed your mind, just kind of having your kid going to school and kind of being worried about those kind of things?
Absolutely. Ever since I learned about the policy, and we're in the process now of taking him out and homeschooling him as well. Okay. Because, you know, and we're certainly going to be homeschooling, you know, our future children. Because the educational environment today is not what it used to be. And the politicians of today, especially from the Democrat Party, are not the same Democrats that are the Kennedy Democrats. These are very radicalized individuals that are authoring legislation that only hurt families and hurt children. And what they're doing is they're changing language and definitions of words to fit an agenda and to sell the public. And they've weaponized themselves, not just, you know, with their language and basically using a narrative that says, if you don't believe in what we're doing or proposing in Sacramento, then you're a bigot, you're a racist, you know, you're all these different things. And all they're doing is seeking to divide people, assign blame, intimidate people, followed up by legal action, lawsuits, suing the Chino Valley School Board in what is some of the most reckless stuff I've ever seen. And having a law enforcement background and seeing this, like taking a step back and seeing what's going on, it's our education system, it's public safety, it's the medical profession. It's like all of our institutions have gone upside down, and you have to realize at some point, and I hope people realize at some point, that this is intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not by accident that they're.
No, it's not. And one thing that we've said on the podcast before is, If people pay attention to some of the language the politicians use when it comes to kids, you know, especially you heard it from, I think, Biden and what's our homegirl's name?
Harris.
Yeah. KGB, KJP, whatever her name is. You know, they say these are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we've said, it's like, well, no, they're not your kids. You know, they're our kids. They're our kids. We're raising them. And, you know, there's a people say that, oh, your kids belong to the community. It's like, no, they don't belong to them. They're a part of a community. It's a huge difference. But sure. The way they use those words gives it a whole you never know their intentions, right? But with the way they use their words, it gives it a whole different meaning where they're making it sound like, yeah, you know, we know what we're supposed to do with your kids. We know better than you. And that's it, right? And that's the attitude that they've had. And I think that's where I think a lot of people are noticing, because when you get to that point where you're trying to tell a parent how to raise their kid or what's best for their own kid, you know, a lot of people, I couldn't go into someone else's house and then start telling them how to raise their kids. It's not going to fly. But for some reason, these politicians, these representatives we currently have in California and federally in some instances, they think they can do that. So my thing is, like, what makes them feel so bold that they can do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And I think that, that it's a couple things. I think it's a lot of things, but they control the state. They're in majority. They've been a super majority for well over 20 years. And so the Democrats, these radical, progressive, socialist, Marxist Democrats that are in control of our state right now. And, you know, that's a very real thing. That's where we are now. They get covered by the media, and they are in bed with the media. And so you're not really seeing the truth in an informative way coming out. And parents right now in California are so tired, and they're struggling so much, and there's so many distractions going on globally, nationally, and across the state. They're hustling to go to work. They're looking at, you know, side hustles, second jobs, third jobs, just to put food on the table, make ends meet. And when you see what's happening with the increase in taxes, when you look at what's happening with, you know, the electricity bills, gas bills, food prices, gas, I mean, the whole thing, they're not taking the time right now, as everyone is stressed out and distracted and tired, to do a real deep dive as to what's going on. Because if you ask the majority of the population, which over 70% agree with Sonia Shaw's parental notification policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Protect Kids CA ballot measure that's out right now, which I encourage everyone to look at, download, sign, and send in, donate to.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents need to know what's happening with our children. And when you have boys that get to go into girls' bathrooms, undress in the girls' locker rooms, play on, you know, girls' sports teams, you know, Norma Torres, Congresswoman Norma Torres, and the Latino caucus voted for that. She didn't vote for it. She didn't show up. She refused to get engaged at all because it would have politically hurt her. But the Latino caucus voted for that. And, you know, I've had lots of friends and been around the Latino community for my whole life. And I don't know many Latinos that are okay with this, they're typically more traditional, and family is the core of their life, right? Like with their faith. So this is dangerous. And when you see the pornographic stuff, now the state, with Attorney General Rob Bonta and these legislatures, I mean, they're on full attack with our parents. They just passed 1078, Assembly Bill 1078, removing local control from school boards. That's horrifying. I mean, it's unconstitutional. And what you were talking about, children being the right, you know, rightful possessions, you know, of their parents. I mean, that's a constitutional right under the 14th Amendment, right? They're they're not even hiding it anymore. They're blatantly violating our constitutional rights. Yeah. And people are just going along with it. And we have to stop going along with it and break this before it's too late.
Yeah. Before the parents are labeled domestic terrorists.
Right. Yeah. Because if you don't agree, right, if you don't agree with the state, and which is a real good sign of, I mean, this is what they, this was Nazi Germany, right? Yeah. You don't agree, then you're the domestic terrorist. You're the problem. That's like, we've strayed so far away from the American idea of having a civil, you know, debate, conversation, discourse without being labeled an extremist or domestic terrorist. I mean, that's just a sign as to where we are and how dangerous this time is, and the critical importance of families right now stepping up and saying enough's enough. We're not going to play the game, and we're going to vote out every politician whose track record has only defined them as irresponsible, reckless, and a failure to the constituents of California.
Yeah. 100%. And then that's what we said to other candidates that we've had on. It's like, you know, we feel that everybody that's running for, you know, a position in government, they should debate. So whoever the incumbent is, there should always be a debate, because that incumbent needs to be able to defend everything they voted for or everything they've allowed to pass. So a lot of these bills that we see, especially here in California, because like you said, right, they've had a supermajority for who knows, you know, for too damn long.
Yeah.
You know, their power goes unchecked. They're not representing anybody but their party. So right. when there is a debate, they have to defend that. And I think Christian said it on the last one. It's like, in a debate, you can make yourself look real foolish too. So I don't know. There has to be something in place where people that are running for a position need to debate. And if you've done a good job, it should be no problem, right? You have your record there. And if you haven't done such a great job, well, your record's also there. And you should be able to at least give an explanation as to, okay, my thought process was, I thought I was going to help the people in this way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But it's obvious that a lot of these people don't really care what we think or what we know about their decision-making. They just kind of do it. And for some of us, it just looks like, all right, well, you're just kind of sticking with the party lines. And that's what it's important to you. And that's what we want to get away from.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think that there's a significant crisis right now in California. And I think that's why it's so important that you're doing what you're doing. I mean, right now, you know, adults can take 12-year-olds out of their homes in California, put them then to foster care without your permission, right? All the kid has to say is okay. This is a new bill that is essentially state-sanctioned kidnapping. And the incumbent in my race, who's termed out, whose wife is running, Freddie Rodriguez, he voted for that, along with the Latino caucus. And he also wrote a letter in opposition of Sonia Shaw's parental notification policy, which went into part of my decision-making to get into this race, because his wife is going to be more of the same. Robert Torres, you know, this is not, I'm not attacking their character, and or this is not an impugning their.
Leave that to us, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
we'll take care of that.
But when you, like this debate, like you're talking about that we just did, the incumbent's wife, Michelle, didn't show up, but the other three Democrats did. And they were reading the whole time from a script. And all it was social justice, social justice, social justice, right? More police reform, more, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, which is to me un-American, and for a lot of reasons. I can get answer whatever questions you guys have. But it's all the same. It's a socialistic way of looking at California, and that's not going to work anymore because they have overregulated our state, making it impossible to do business, and people are leaving. I mean, and you know, to go to what you guys were saying before, I mean, how can they do this? And not enough people have stood up and said enough is enough. I think you're starting to see that now, and there is definitely a movement going, but there's these people, it's not like we're outnumbered by these radicals. They just been in control and control the narrative with the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's the thing, kind of based on what you just said, it's like, it was an open invite to any candidate. We didn't say Republican. We didn't say Democrat, Independent. We just, if there's any candidate out there that wants to come on and talk, you know, let's go. It's funny.
I wish they would have joined us.
It's funny. Not one Democrat reached out. So, I mean,
wow.
You know, it is what it is. Cause it's like I was telling you before, it's like, you should be able to stand up for what you believe in and defend your position. Or, you know, in a sense, explain to me why you think that way. You know, and if they can't do that in a basic conversation, they're not going to do it in a debate. But again, I feel like that should be a requirement for everybody running for office.
I agree. And that's part of what makes our country what it is, right? At least that's what it used to be. But you're seeing a lot more Democrats. Like, look at Sheriff Inouye's race. Juan isn't coming out to debate him. She's deathly afraid to debate him. And you know, in my race, you know, one of the opponents started doing mass text messages saying, Wilson is not going to win this race. This is Democratic seat. Basically, vote for me. Robert Torres, during the debate, said something to the effect of, well, I know that there's a super majority. So which Democrat do you want to win? And it's almost as if they don't believe that the American people and the people of California have a brain enough to make their own decision. People are sick of it. People are sick of what's going on. And many people, like you were talking about, may not know exactly what it is legislatively or with these new laws or what's happening. But I think the majority of people are finally woken up enough to know something is very wrong and they can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, you can the other Daniel.
Hey,
got stuck in traffic. There was a tornado in Ripon, California.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Okay, another one. All these anomalies going on.
But I just wanted to thank you for your service. I did read, you know, that you were a police officer, and that you actually sustained an injury in the line of service, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you for your service here. We do respect the law and order, so you know we appreciate you, you know, thank doing you. That job. A lot of people aren't willing to take on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's our cops right now, and my heart breaks for our cops, and they're handcuffed and have been beaten into submission, and the entire profession is changing, and they need our support now more than ever. Good news was, is Bill Asaley came out with a new public safety measure to try to, you know, undo and to add new legislation to correct the failures of the Democratic Party over the last several years. And he was joined by San Bernardino Police Chief Sheriff Bianco, as well as Megan McCarthy, who is a San Bernardino deputy that was attacked by the suspect she was trying to arrest, who took her gun, tried to shoot at her, broke her face, and was ultimately, even though her attempted execution was found caught on camera, they were not allowed to, they didn't prosecute him. He didn't get found guilty. He was released because there was a jury that was biased towards law enforcement. Mm. That was part of AB 3070, which was to allow people that are naturally biased towards law enforcement to be on a jury, which is another violation of the Constitution. So they're just taking the Constitution and destroying it, and we're all suffering as a result. Not just cops, but everyone in California.
Let me ask you. You know, hearing that you put your body on the line of duty, when that phrase, you know, defund the police, was getting thrown around, the first time you heard that, what did that mean to you?
When I first heard that, that's when, you know, you started seeing everything in 2020. And I initially thought that was a stupid buzzword. And I started laughing because I'm like, well, you defund law enforcement. If you do that, then there's going to be anarchy. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. And then you started seeing politicians at every level start talking about it, almost like in sync, right at the same time.
And Hollywood.
The talking points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just came out. And what you started to see was a radical shift that looked like it almost happened overnight. And the word defund is another Marxist, you know, radical progressive move to destroy our way of life in terms of our safety, which is a human right. And, you know, our cops are the first line of defense for us. And so that defund movement is not over. It is still happening, but you're seeing it happen in other ways. And instead of lack of funds, maybe some agencies have been funded more, but you're seeing it with legislation that is restricting law enforcement from doing their jobs, unable to do anything about the crime crisis right now and the culture of lawlessness that we've created or the state has created because of their insanity. And we've abandoned not just our cops, but our crime victims and communities who are literally terrified. And all of these things, whether it's the cost of living, the public safety issue, homelessness, parental rights, they all correspond with one another in one way or the other. And what we're seeing is a huge decline in our nation, our state. We have a $68 billion deficit. And what are they trying to do? Push more radical stuff that has a fiscal impact that we have to pay for. Mm-hmm. And I don't want, you know, my kid to be going to a school where there's, you know, boys walking into girls' bathrooms, mm-hmm. Playing on the opposite team. And I certainly don't believe under this whole notion of gender affirming care that we should be mutilating our children. And that is happening. That's a real thing, which is weird because it contradicts with law. The penal code says like you cannot hurt children, but they're saying, well, to be, you know, affirming and to support our kids who are confused or suffer from gender dysphoria, let's just cut them up, you know? And if the parents don't think that that's okay, they're not going to give them gender affirming care, then we're going to take them from their parents. And that's happening.
And it's sad that the doctors are playing along, right? You know, the first thing to be a doctor is to do no harm, or to add no harm, right? And I don't know with, you know, if we can certainly say that these type of surgeries are causing no harm, you know, when you have people that are detransitioning and all that type of stuff later on, you know, and you got the surgery when you were 12.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. I mean, that has a lifetime effect on a kid, right? I mean, that's not just, and I think we've seen a lot of things happen in the medical profession since 2020. And, you know, truth is that more doctors, you know, kill more people than police officers do, but no one's really ready to have that conversation.
Yeah, right. I've been seeing that for a long time. You look at the statistics and the medication, the prescriptions actually cause more death. Malprescriptions, I should say, are the ones that are leading cause of death in the United States.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think that's too much of a rational adult conversation to have with these progressives. They rather stick to their narratives and have conversations that actually make no sense or have no meaning behind them.
Yeah. Well said, for sure.
But it's kind of like what you, like when you're, you know, explaining yourself earlier, Nick, you looked across the table, somebody asks you to run and you say, hey, I'm not a politician. You look across the table and you see who you're running against and you're like, or maybe his qualifications are, you know, mine are a little bit more up to par than he is. You're right. I should run. I, you know, if nobody else is doing it, why shouldn't I? Right.
Yeah, no, and I think that when we think about what does it take to run for office, you know, yeah, having an education and background and professional world, depending on what it is, it'd be helpful. But at the end of the day, I think that the only qualification is to be ethical and to be honest. And we have career politicians who are they're liars. They've abandoned our, they've been swayed by money. I can't be bought out. Like, I can't be bought and paid for. And is this thing glitching up?
Just a tiny bit, but you're good.
Okay. So, you know, for me, you know, I've said it before, like I've seen a lot of evil in my career, you know, in law enforcement, like the hundreds of thousands of police officers around the country see on a daily basis. And I thought that those days would be over after retiring. The truth is that I have not seen more evil in my life than being in this campaign and really getting a quick little glimpse behind the scenes and seeing that there's nothing more evil than politicians who are intentionally destroying the lives of people because of their political agendas and because of their efforts to stay in power. That to me is inconceivable. And I think we're seeing more people take the fight to Sacramento that are just like us, everyday people from the community that want our state back because they see the intentional destruction and the impending doom in California. And not to, you know, this was never even part of my campaign, but you know, if you look at what's going on at the border, it's not just a border crisis, it's a national security crisis. And how is it fair to any of the people that are here right now, especially from the Latino community who have been here for years and are trying to get by, and you know, they came here legally and they're trying to wait on their pathway towards citizenship because they came here legally. They have destroyed this state and this country, and they've been in power and they are the ones with the history. But they want to blame, of course, anything else because they can't accept responsibility. So I think people see through that.
Yeah, 100%. You hit on a point that we make all the time is that, you know, the people that are going to rise in politics are the unethical ones, are the ones that are going to take that road where they're going to take that deal that someone that is ethical wouldn't take, you know, and that's why they rise to power. But, you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, people are fed up with it. And I wanted to get your, I always ask is what type of support are you getting? Because if you would have been running in 2012 or, you know, some other time, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have the support that you have right now. But what is the type of support that you're getting right now?
Well, number one, we're seeing just on a daily basis when I'm out canvassing with a team of amazing volunteers, including my wife, who's coming out, and we're canvassing every day and talking to people. The first four houses that we put the sign in their yard, campaign sign, were Democrat houses who said, we're sick of what's going on. We're done with it. Put a sign up, you know, and we'll vote for you. But then I think the most important has been my wife, because this has been a tough road, and she's been amazing all the way. Sheriff Villanueva has endorsed, Sheriff Bianco, Chino Valley School Board members, including Sonia Shaw. We've had the Fontana Police Officers Association, Indio Police Officers Association, Claremont Police Officers Association, the California Coalition of School Safety Professionals, Montebello POA, San Bernardino Police Officers Association, Assembly Member Bill Asaley, retired Senator Mike Morrell, California Assembly Republican Leader James Gallagher, former Secretary of Corrections Ralph Diaz, Huntington Park Police Officers Association, the San Bernardino and LA GOP, California GOP, San Gabriel Police Officers Association, and just most recently, which was a huge, amazing honor, was Pastor Jack Hibbs, where my wife and I go to church with my boy.
Nice.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
that's, you know, it's a lot of law enforcement, you know what I mean? But it's like, it goes to show you that, you know, it's needed. And you know, law enforcement needs better support, better representation, and, you know, they put your trust in you, right? So, you know, the reality of District 53 might not be, you know, what it's painted out to be.
I think you said that Freddie Rodriguez termed out, right?
You did.
Which I believe in California is 12 years, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah.
So in those 12 years, is there anything that you can say improved under Freddie Rodriguez?
No.
He's running now, right? So is
Now, if I believe that these would be strong candidates, I would not be in this race whatsoever, because we've been trying to build, right? Mm-hmm. And it's between my, you know, business and nonprofit, we've been trying to build. It's because they have had nothing but their policies are failures. So I've been saying, you know, you go in for like this political process is insane, right? But you have to raise money, all right? And then you can't do anything if you don't raise money. And then if you raise money, then you buy your lawn signs, you buy your door hangers, and you're going from event to event to event. Then you go to an endorsement interview. And it's been interesting to see how it's been hard to see. Has been the law enforcement community knows who I am. They know, either know of me because of the work I do, or whether they've met me at an event. Like, they know I was a cop. I was one of them. I'm going to go to Sacramento and do the right thing because this is why I'm running, and they know me, right? Well, politics has really played an interesting role in District 53, and that's been heartbreaking to see, because a lot of agencies are staying out of it. And even though they want me in Sacramento, they also, some of them might think maybe I just won't win. And so maybe they'd be shooting themselves in the foot if they went against the person that does win, so that they, you know, make sure that they get their funding and all that kind of stuff. So I've been saying, look, you know, this is the time, 2024, this is the election, you know, in one election cycle, I think it's okay to put yourself out there, send a message to your troops. We're going to get behind the right guy. Mm-hmm. Send a message to Sacramento to say enough is enough. I mean, who thinks it's reasonable to demonize police officers, defund them, and then burn the state down, create legislation that gives more rights to criminal offenders than law enforcement or the rest of us? I mean, you can go into any place now, steal what you want, walk inebriated, naked down the street, defecate in the middle of the street with a syringe hanging out of your arm, and they're going to give you a hotel voucher. Meanwhile, cops are getting prosecuted. Crime victims have been abandoned, can't get justice because they've corrupted our entire system of jurisprudence. They've corrupted our whole system, right? Up is down, down is up. This is a failed criminal justice experiment, and all of us are paying for it. And it's not just about families afraid to walk across the street with their kids at the park. It's businesses leaving California. It's people who have small businesses that have homeless people, or crime that they don't have people coming to their store because it's too dangerous, closing down and leaving. So what are we doing?
The answer would be that we're hurting ourselves if we don't, you know, forget about, you know, that reminds me of, you know, the verdict that came down on Trump right now is that a lot of people in New York are afraid to go against the state right now because they fear that they're going, what happened to Trump is going to happen to them.
Right.
And, you know, this whole, you know, our show right now, our podcast is focusing on local candidates, but I have to point this out because it's at the national level, is they're trying to say is if you go against the system, this is what's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. And to the point that you were making right now is people that thinking of supporting you don't want to put themselves out there, because if you don't win, then they have to deal with the consequences of them going against whoever does win. And that is not American. You know, right. we're supposed to have the right to go out and vote any which way that we feel fit, and not have consequences or persecuted for the decisions that we make.
No, that's a perfect point. That's an amazing point. I mean, you lack moral courage. You lose your integrity when you don't do something, because when you do something that you shouldn't, or basically do nothing at all when you know you should. That's just cowardice. And we are Americans. Mm-hmm. Like we're supposed to be the best country in the world. I mean, sadly, we have a very corrupt government right now. We have a very corrupt state government. But your earlier point is very important for your listeners to remember, because the extent to which our freedom can stay intact depends on our local and state elections. Because who do we have more influence over, the governor or the president? Right? Do we have more of a influence on our state attorney general or the United States attorney general? Do we have more influence on a local politician, a state assembly member, or a congressman or U.S. senator? Mm-hmm. And the people right now that are in Sacramento, which is where I'm trying to go, are solely responsible with the governor and the attorney general for destroying our state. And we are losing our rights, and people have to understand we are not free, because if we have to sue as parents to make sure that we can keep the 14th Amendment intact and not have secrets being kept from us, then we're not free if we have to sue for that right. We're not free. You know, there should be taxation without representation. Who in their right minds right now, if we polled California in an honest poll, thinks that we should be spending an exorbitant amount, go away from, now they want basically us to all drive electric. You can't even have a gas lawnmower coming up here very soon. Energy rates are through the roof. Look at the electric rates from 2013 to 2021, 78% increase, scheduled to increase 17.6% in 2024, this year, 10.5 more percent 2025, 9.2% 2026, 7.9% 2027. Okay, does anything there sound like something we want to do?
I can't afford that.
What about the fiscal impact?
I gotta look for another job. Sounds like.
Oh, I mean, this is just. You know, so people always, and I, you know, who the president is very important. Mm-hmm. But I have to focus right now on District 53, and I have to focus on California. And, you know, the reality is that we're one of the very many families that have really struggled in these last several years. And you're looking around going, what the heck's going on?
So Nick, you mentioned earlier this Latino group or Latino convention, or they sound Latin. They sound Latinx to me. air their laundry out, man. What's up? What are they?
Yeah, ordering? Let's go. Let's get them.
What's going on?
Send me a number, Nick.
Latino? Come on.
Yeah, you go. So look, the Latino caucus. There's a bunch of caucuses up in Sacramento, right? So the Latino caucus voted for AB 1266. Which allows the whole boy, girl, you know, boys and girls bathrooms. And it allows.
We did that, guys. We did that. Oh my gosh.
We all allowed it to happen, right? By allowing this to happen. I know what you're saying, though. The other thing, 12-year-olds, state sanctioned kidnapping, right? Adults, they can take their 12-year-olds out of homes and put them in foster care, you know, without your permission if they identify as being an opposite sex. And you don't affirm that. And Freddie Rodriguez and the Latino caucus voted for that. That was with Wendy Carrillo, who is not married and has no children. She wrote the bill with Scott Wiener, who I believe.
You love that guy. There you go.
You know, yeah, they you know, and he also voted for 1078, AB 1078 to. Take local control away from school boards. That's like tyrant. That's called tyranny. You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, what if the state said, you know, well, no more authority for, you know, city councils. No more. I mean, it's so this is intentional. So we have to have someone go up to Sacramento and advocate and fight for this, because it's lunacy. Yeah. And they can say all they want, you know, they can assign blame and try to intimidate people. You're this, you're that. They are trying to divide people. And I've always said, like in law enforcement, cops have to evaluate critical incidences and threats every single moment of the day based on a reasonable objective standard. What's reasonably objective? It's not reasonably objective to have secrets kept from parents. It's not reasonably objective to mutilate children. It's not reasonably objective to take children from their parents if they're not going to affirm that they are anything that they want to be. Where does that end? If they believe that they're a dog, do we need to walk our children on leashes? And if you don't, they're going to take our children. Where does that end? How are they going to apply the law to people when the penal code says it doesn't apply to dogs or cats? So can I just walk around, commit crimes, say I'm a dog, and then I don't get arrested? There's a lot of different, I mean, how far do you want to take this?
Mm-hmm. Reasonably objective. Hi. You know? I'd like to apply to the, for the police dog position.
I mean, you know, and so they skew stats. They've told the cops that under RIPA now, you know, before they ever stop someone, right? Let's say we're in a 4-man unit, right? We're out doing traffic enforcement. It's midnight. There's a car in front of us, has tinted windows. And they blow through a red light, we go up and stop them. Before we get to the window, we're supposed to know what race they are, what gender they are, and not just male, female, which, yes, there are only two genders. That's not twisted. They're saying that the cop, the police officer, has to know whether they were trans boy, trans girl, non-binary, and which I don't even know what any of those things mean. I don't mean to be insensitive, but I think we got to get very serious real quick because we can't. It's like we're dealing in a makeshift reality. And, you know, when they see and you see in legislation now, this thing that they just passed, which was another, you know, race baiting thing. They actually talk about it with the attorney in the attorney general's email that just went out that men can get pregnant. I call them like persons experiencing pregnancy. I mean, I know I'm new to politics, but I thought that just means like being pregnant, a woman being pregnant. I don't, right? I'm not sure where we are.
It's that wordplay.
Wordplay,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, as you're describing all of that, let's say that you win. How do you envision making a difference? It sounds like you said, it sounds like a alternate reality that they're, mm-hmm. you know, talking about these laws, legislation, bills, things that they want to push. How are you going to be able to, you know, bring a little bit of reality there, some real conversation there?
There are some people. So I honestly, a lot of those people I've not met, and I don't honestly believe that you can talk reason into them. I think they're voting for a very specific reason to intentionally destroy systems. Mm-hmm. Of course, I will always have a conversation with them and at least try. And I also want to say that right now, up and down the state, I'm talking to a lot of other candidates that are very solid candidates, many of which you guys have interviewed, who are working to get up there so that we can rebalance the scales of power and make it a little bit more of a less of a supermajority, and then join fighters up there that are still up there in office that are just outnumbered. And then the other component is to not just get ahead of what they're intentionally doing, but really in a concerted effort with more assembly members that get elected and the ones that we know are there that are willing to fight, expose the truth and communicate in multiple ways, not just with media people that we do know will do the right thing, but expose in many ways what's going on so that the public really understands, because that hasn't been done in a way that has woken enough people up. And so these people have to be held accountable. The people that you're bringing up right here that I'm seeing on the screen, mm-hmm. you know, these people I've met some of them and some of them I have not met. At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, you know, yeah, you know, sometimes they'll get behind the right bill and you'll see like a bipartisan thing, most of which I haven't been impressed by. It's not a victory to abstain from a vote on a bill that is unethical. That's not a victory for us. But people are looking at things as, hey, if we just stay out of it, cool. He didn't go down the radical route, right, with some of these people that are in office now. That's not a victory. We have to fight because we have lost the state. We've lost our country. And it's like the term appeasement makes the aggressor more aggressive. You do nothing, they're going to continue to trample on our rights. And before you know it, we're Venezuela.
Yeah.
Right?
And we agree with you 100% because one of the conversations that we've been having is that if you go and win, it'll motivate someone else. It'll incentivize it, you know, a movement, if you will, and you will regain the balance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest part that, you know, that we have to understand. We're not going to win right away. It's, you know, they've been taking our rights, if we want to say inch by inch, we've got to do the same thing also, is, you know, step by step, you Absolutely. Know, regain the balance, restore balance.
Restoring balance, but the balance of power, really, the power goes to the people. And that's what we've lost. The people mm-hmm. have, I wouldn't look at it as much as rebalancing the power now that I'm, you know, I'm hearing you guys speak and I'm speaking on these things. I would say that it's time to go to Sacramento to return power to the people.
There you go.
We have overregulated. I mean, look, the insanity with these, we don't need more laws. We need less. Yeah, right. We need less restrictions, right? I mean, they're turning us into robots. You can barely, you know, I saw a sign the other day that says, don't walk and talk on your cell phone at the same time. You know, how much did it cost to make those signs and put them all over California? You know?
Yeah. I mean, how much longer till that becomes a, you know,
a law?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, like, these are restrictive policies. These are restrictive taxes that are only hurting people. When you're spending billions of dollars on climate change because you want to dominate the world as a state, pushing environmental bills while creating bureaucratic red tape to prevent businesses and developers from being able to grow, or, you know, just basically saying that anyone that works at a fast food place can make 20, 25 bucks an hour. Now they want to increase it to 50, right? They're thinking that we should be able to do, I mean, it's just unreasonable. It's insanity. And we have to cut through it. I mean, well, look what they did with the homeless. They told the homeless that they can live, you know, anywhere they want on the sidewalk. So we're not regulating public space. We need to. And we look in many places in California, which is the most beautiful state. I grew up here. Don't recognize it. We're supposed to be the fifth largest economy in the world. Where I don't know how that's even possible anymore. Parts of California look like third world countries.
Mm-hmm. It's not time to be passive anymore.
No,
it's time to be aggressive. And if you're not, that's how you get these guys in power. You get teetotalers like the Latino X caucus.
I'm gonna fill this form out. I'm inviting them. I want one of them. There was, I don't know how many there was.
Steps, do it. I love it. That's what we need.
It's disappointing to see so many of them. And it's like, dude, like the way Latinos for the most part, like, we have conservative values. Mm-hmm. Like, one of them, please come on and explain, like, what are you doing? What's your rationing behind these policies and how are they helping us?
No, and I'm going to tell you right now, Daniel, I was looking at those pictures and it looked like not one of them could, you know, make a tortilla. Just saying. And if you want to, you know, you want to fight that, come on here and, you know, say I'm alive.
Yeah, these are not the values I think that we want for our families. And I don't think those people up there, even though they're part of the Latino caucus, they don't represent the majority of Latinos. They don't. No. And by the way, like, I get it in politics, you know, everyone, it's all, you know, I get very passionate about this. You're not supposed to talk about this, but like for once, I wish these politicians would stop dividing people based on race and creating laws based on, I thought that like Martin Luther King wanted to raise his children in a country where they weren't judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character. We're not progressing. We're moving backwards. We're going pre-civil rights movement right now. And I think the biggest civil rights movement of our lifetime, this is it.
Yeah. Well, let me go ahead and say it for you, Nick, or maybe you weren't going to say this at all. But, you know, the Latino caucus, right? If they drop the Latino, who are those people? They use that Latino thing as a, oh, this is who I am. You have to listen to me. You must listen. Why? Because I'm Latino, and you got, this is what I shoot up first before, hey, I'm a good person. I, you know, I work a 9-to-5. I want to work for my community. That's who I am. I'm an American. No, I'm a Latino, or I'm this minority, or I'm this subject group, or I stand for all the short people on earth. Get out of here, man. Tell me who you are and tell me why I should vote for you.
Yeah. We're starving ourselves out and we're being distracted by just nothing but insanity and recklessness. And this doesn't represent the best of who we are. At the end of the day, our politicians have abandoned all of us. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. Our politicians have abandoned our children, you know, and, you know, hace mucho tiempo sin hablando español, pero tengo que practicar más. La verdad es que ellos dicen que los niños son el futuro. And they are. And now we have to protect that and harness that, because nothing is more important than our children.
Yeah. Well, amen. We're going to have Nick on the Latino caucus then. you got our vote.
Yeah, it's a coup d'etat. District 54.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's true, man. It's a lot of things that, you know, when we focus on the Latino community, that when we start to hear these things, and a lot of people don't, because one of the things we've said before is Spanish media isn't telling them all this. So, you know, that's in a sense where we're trying to come in, and, you know, hopefully the stuff we share in Spanish kind of more and more people start to hear it, because again, that Univision, Telemundo, they're not going to play none of this stuff. You know what I mean? So these people here in the Latino caucus, they're not going to tell their voters any of that either.
No.
And they're the microphone. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the truth. And that's why I always say, like, after every live, after every Zoom call, phone call, meeting, town hall, we should always leave. And this is how you get your state back. Leave, not just by posting something, hitting the like button, sharing it. And everyone should have at least one action item. Okay, I'm going to go send this video to everyone I know. This person is going to send as many ballot measures for protectkidsca.com to 15, 20 people. And then they're going to ask them to do that, right? We're going to write a list of every single politician that has absolutely failed our communities. And we're going to write letters. And then we're going to start phone banking and robocall. I mean, we have to do more. They say that the pen is mightier than the sword. We got to start stepping up and acting like it, and not having these phrases just be, you know, cool punchlines on the back of a t-shirt. It's called like action, and we got to go now, because look, we got less than 2 weeks for the primary, right? We need people to start turning out now. We need people to get engaged now, and we need them to be responsible in seeing what these laws in the last 3 years alone have done to hurt us.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. Check your wallets, guys. Is your in and out still around? Maybe not.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild. Sad that it'll take in and out to leave after years of the state burning down for people to say, well, I guess if in and out's out, we should start paying attention.
Sums up.
Yeah, it's enough of this.
Unbelievable.
No, Nick, but it's, you know, it's good having you on and talking about this. So kind of based on what we've been talking about, is it fair to say that one of your initial focuses is going to be, you know, children and in the public school system and how it's been going?
It's always been, my whole life has been protecting communities, protecting children. I mean, I did that in my career, in my profession. And I find myself stepping up to get engaged once again, because it has to happen. It's not going to happen with my opponent. So yes, you know, it's public safety. It's triaging, right? Okay. Well, our children are to me most important. My son to me is my world, my life. I'm sure for you guys that have children, it's the same. So we can't corrupt their minds, and we have to get them back to being, you know, taught how to read, write, spell, English, math, science, not the science that they say we could trust, but real science, and making sure that our cops, the war on cops is going to be significant for me to end the war on. And I'm going to do everything in my power and work with the people I know now, even in different industries, to not just speak truth to power and call out the corruption, but expose. And we're going to work with some of those people that are there now, the assembly members, and those that are going to be elected. So I just hope and pray that people get out. Because if I don't get people to come vote between now and March 5th, the campaign is done. So we need everyone to turn out. Now's the time.
Yeah. And, you know, we just want to continue to send the message is that if you sit this one out, you know, it's going to be too late. You know, they're just going to keep tipping that balance on, you know, over to their side. And if you're sick and tired of what's been happening, you know that they're not representing, you know, the people, like you were saying, Nick, is that we are the bosses. They are supposed to be advocating for us. And if you feel like they're not advocating for us and you're going to sit this out, get ready for more of the same. If you want something different, step up, go vote. Even if someone is going to look at you differently, you know, do the right thing. Go out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't have the right to complain about it afterwards.
Yeah. At least you can say, look, you know, what's beautiful. Like, we have an amazing team of volunteers and these all ages, you know, different backgrounds. It's been unbelievable to see volunteers that are helping with the campaign, that understand politics, that are giving so much of their time every single day to help navigate the complexity of this. You've got other people that are like, hey, like what I can do is I can come walk and I can come canvas with you. And so, you know, under Robert, who's running our canvassing team, amazing volunteers, these people, some of them are elderly, their bodies hurt, they're out in the rain. And we're going door to door for hours, right? And this is how we get our state back. But to see that happen in action and people doing their part is amazing. We've had the girlfriend of an LAPD officer who was shot and killed off duty as they were in front of a home that they were looking at purchasing together, right? Shot and killed by four thugs. Right in front of her, and she wants her state back. And we met her through Serafina Hueva, his amazing wife, Vivian. And she came out from LA just to walk. And when her car broke down, she took a bus. And then from the bus stop she took an Uber to our landing location because they want their state back.
Yeah.
You know, people that have money, I'm sorry, people that don't have money are sending what they have, you know, 5, 10, 15 bucks to help us get a, you know, thing of door hangers and a couple signs. Because I think most people are hopeless right now and they're looking at any sort of community group or candidate up and down the state because they want hope and they want to believe that people are going to go do the right thing for the right reasons and not be on a power trip or be disingenuous in their speeches about wanting to help California when their record shows that they've only destroyed the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, With these conversations we've had with candidates, you know, that's the one thing that we've repeated, I think, at every show is that you got to show up, you know, you got to vote, you got to do your part. You can't, like Danny said, right, you can't not show up.
Yeah.
And then complain about it. You know, I know people that, you know, didn't vote against Newsom and complain about Newsom every day. It's like, well, you know what I mean? You didn't help. You sat out. You thought that was the most important thing.
Right.
So this time around, it's like, nobody could sit out. You have to show up. You have to vote because they want us to be demoralized. They want us to think that there is no hope, that what's the point? We're going to lose anyways. We're outnumbered. Right. But if you listen to us at all, you know that we say, nah, we're the majority and we're going to do everything we can to get people to show up. That's why we're doing this, because everybody needs to hear from your candidates as much as possible. So that's the importance of this, you know, especially for me and I'm sure for the other guys too. It's we got to get people to show up, you know, put up a fight, have that fighter spirit, things we've talked about many times on here. And, you know, it's not a time to just sit out and be afraid, you know, kind of what you were talking about earlier, you know, people not willing to endorse you because they don't want to deal with the consequences, whatever they may be, if you don't win. You know, you can't be a coward now.
Yeah, no, this is a time to be an American and proud to say that, right? And that's what we are. We're Americans. And the people of California, you know, they always say, you know, you can't say that, you're a racist. Well, you know, what makes us
great? I'm a patriot.
We're patriots, right? And you guys are doing something amazing by creating a platform to get candidates like mine in front of other people and get our messages out and hopefully reach more people. So you guys are playing a role in this fight too. And I think what we have to realize is there's more dangerous legislation coming down while they're intentionally releasing inmates from prisons as they push to close prisons and more prison yards. Mm-hmm. Under what's called the Norwegian model and working with unbelievable organizations in their efforts to make sure that this happens. So if you realize, like, these people are people that have, you know, PhDs, MDs, right? They have law degrees up in Sacramento. I mean, if these are people who believe that we should create a culture of lawlessness, war on cops, war on children, war on families, release inmates, do nothing about the 40,000 illegal immigrants who have come across the border, then you have to realize if they're as smart as they are with English degrees, then this cannot be because of bad legislation. It's intentional.
It's intentional.
They're not trusting the science.
Let me ask you this, Nate. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why are they doing it?
What's that?
Why are they doing it? Why are they doing this?
You know, I really don't know. But you know what? You see this, you know, history is our greatest teacher, right? You know, it's something that you read too in the Bible, right? When up is down, down is up. And you see that what's good is being hailed as bad and what is bad is being hailed as good. And you realize that we're in a spiritual war. And it's hard to see what the enemy wants other than to destroy and to demoralize and to create more pain and suffering. And that's what they're doing, right? And you see this with elites, you know, you see that, you know, they want to create high density housing, get people into these 15-minute cities and control you, whether it's with your free, you know, restriction of your freedom of movement to what you eat, to how you live your life, to your medical decisions and, you know, what you have to take in order to keep your job, right? Or controlling doctors and what they're able to say publicly. I mean, when in America has that ever happened or been okay, at least since we can remember, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you go there because you want informed consent. You want to know, you want to make the best decision that you can. This is in school for our kids, right? It's with your doctors in the medical profession. This is in banking and requirements. If, you know, you have a business and you better have a DEI policy and procedure and How about the airline industry? Right. I want the most qualified person flying the plane. I don't care what they look like or what gender they are. Right. So we got to look at equality of opportunity, not equality of outcomes. And that's what they're pushing. It's a socialist, mm-hmm. Marxist, progressive movement. And to me, it's evil because if we were the fifth largest economy in the world, how does so much of us look like a third world country? And you can see the pain and suffering with your neighbors. It's not just my family or yours. Go outside. That's all these politicians have to do is go get out of their little bubble and walk up and down the street and talk to the people who are struggling. And, you know, they're selling them a bill of lies. You know what we're going to do? We're going to protect the community more. We're going to come up with this new measure. Okay. We're going to do a couple cent taxes. It's going to go towards law enforcement and to public safety measures to protect the community. And the money doesn't go there. The money goes to some other program and they sneak the language in a bill and a measure. In every institution. And I firmly believe this. Like I believe that this is the absolute total destruction of all of our institutions. We're seeing it. Like I think Daniel, it was you that was saying earlier, it's incremental. It happens a little bit of a time at a time, but people don't realize it's happening right before our eyes. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this is now the time. I would not be in this race if I did not believe with all of my being that this time was so critical and needed the right people with intestinal fortitude to go to Sacramento. I wouldn't be in this race if I didn't believe that, because this is not helping me at all. This is not easy and this is hard, and we're trying to find ways to live and put food on the table as we go through this process, because we, you know, believe that we have to see this through.
Yeah. The reason I asked is we talked about rights and America, you know, being a great country, right?
Right.
So the question that I've asked myself and I asked everybody is what separates America, you know, and I believe it's the Constitution. And I think the end game for these politicians is to strip our rights. They have to get rid of the Constitution.
Yeah.
So the decline of the United States of America has to come in order to get that done. And some people see that as a far-fetched or, like a conspiracy theory or, you know, something to that effect. But it's like what you said. If these highly educated people are doing this, allowing this to happen, it has to be on purpose. And that's the only conclusion that I can come to.
And I agree with you. And, you know, are we really free? And you said the Constitution, and I agree with you. But the thing is we've already seen our constitutional rights be suspended and not there. Do we have a freedom of speech anymore? Can you say things without actually having to worry if you're going to be deplatformed at the behest of social media giants playing and in cahoots with government? Suppressing free speech to control narratives, to push public policy that they want, but we don't. Is it really free speech when you go to a school board meeting and can't say what you want to say without being shut down? Is it
arrested?
The Fourth Amendment rights. Right. We can't forget that we have a state that shut us down with the most egregious emergency powers than any other state in the country. And I think we're easy to forget and just move on. I won't forget. Friends of mine lost their jobs because they didn't get a vaccine. I saw lives be destroyed because people got vaccines and others that didn't for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see the truth being talked about because you get penalized somehow. And it's time that if I can do it, anyone else can do it. And it just means speaking truth to power and fighting for our constitutional rights, because I never decided that I would agree to be a slave, right? At the hands of corrupt politicians. who are changing language and changing words in the dictionary to push their agenda. It's insanity, and that's evil. That's not okay. I mean, we laugh about this stuff, but this is very serious, and this is a sign of the times. And so I urge anyone that's listening to educate themselves fully on what's really going on in California and put politics aside. I keep saying it's time to put principles over politics. Put your politics aside. Just because you're Latino or, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to vote blue because you always have. Realize that we are in a real crisis because voting blue has got us with a supermajority, and today's blue is not the old blue of the Kennedy era. Okay. They're not the whoever, right? These are radical people who believe it's okay to take your children, to indoctrinate your children, and to do horrible things. And our job is to protect our children, to protect my child. Your guys' job is to protect your children. So we have to do that together, because these people, you know, voting matters. It's our civic duty. And if people don't vote when the time mattered and it counted, how do you look at your children in the face and say, you know, I was too lazy? No, I get it. People are apathetic. They're checked out. They're worried about their daily lives and what's going on. Sometimes we get tunnel vision, but we have to get out of that tunnel vision and fight back. And voting is fighting back. And voting right means trying to correct the issue that has plagued us because of morally bankrupt politicians.
Hey, Nick, and just to tag on what you said earlier, you mentioned, you know, that there was a lot of, or a few elderly people that are out there marching with you in the rain, you know, putting posters around town. And, you know, it's sad to hear that, you know, the younger generations don't feel that same motivation. But it's almost like you can kind of, you feel what these elderly people might have seen, right? They're coming from a time where drinking and driving was okay. Right. And then making a law against drinking and driving was going against their right, right? But in the end, that was something that benefited everybody, sure, right? Drinking and driving. But now, from then, what they can see now, like you said, no walking and cell phone. They couldn't even, you know, fathom what a cell phone would be. Right. And now they're getting docked for walking, looking down, you know, so they can see that overstep that the government has gone in these 50, 60. And, you know, that's just one lifetime.
Yeah. And that's a generation. It's a generational thing, because what you see are past generations who fought wars to protect our freedom, who lost partners and fellow soldiers protecting our freedoms. Families have given everything and sacrificed all to protect our freedom. So they understand the cost of sacrifice. They understand where we are. It's the newer generations that grew up with the garbage and the nonsense being taught these things, and they think it's all normal. It's not. So that's why I think you see the disparity. And people who are just, they're so self-absorbed, the newer generations, unfortunately, are focused on themselves and their social media. And, you know, we got to take a pause sometimes and realize that there's more to life than self. Mm-hmm. And right now we are on the precipice of cataclysmic change, and we either need it to be good or just bad, and just keep voting how you've been voting. I choose good and I choose hope. And I know that there's a lot of people out there right now that are fighting to get that hope back.
Yeah. There's more good people than bad people in the world. That's our belief. Bad people get the attention.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, thank you, Nick, again for coming on. You know, you've been with us, you know, going on an hour and 20 minutes. And, you know, as any candidate that comes on and gives us, you know, some of their time during, you know, especially now 2 weeks away from the primaries, you know, we appreciate it. So I guess our final question would be, if there's one thing that you would want the voters from District 53 to hear from you to, you know, to get their vote, what would you tell them? What would be your one message to them?
I'd ask them to give me a shot, because I'm one of them and I'm not a career politician, and I'm in this because I have spent my lifetime protecting communities as a law enforcement officer, and I'm still in service to our public safety community and trying to keep them alive. and that I'm just like them as a, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I have an 8-year-old boy, and I want him to grow up in the same state I did. And it's time to take our state back. And if we want to be able to raise our children in schools where they're not being corrupted in their minds or hurt, or if we still want to be the ultimate authority over our children, if we want to live in safe communities, and if we don't want the homeless industrial complex to continue to pillage our streets, then vote for me, because I'm the only candidate who is on record that will be an ardent supporter of law enforcement and is unapologetic in those endeavors. And I'm the only candidate that will protect our children and will fight like hell to do it. They don't share the same values. So stop thinking red, blue, left, right, Democrat, Republican. Vote for what is right. And God bless. And I can't thank you guys enough for what you're doing and giving me the opportunity and doing something that is noble and needed.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. And let's take it back. We're not moving.
Nope. We're here. We're here to stay. Well, you know, Nick, thank you for coming on. For coming on the show and sharing your message to the people. You know, everyone tuned in, you know, share this episode, especially if you live in District 53. You know, have a lot of people here directly from Nick and, you know, where he stands. And, you know, it's we hope that in 2 weeks from now, you get in there, you make it as one of the top two candidates. And, you know, hopefully we have you on again for the November election, right?
I would love that. Let's do it. Thank you.
Yeah, so man, so let's everybody, if you're in District 53, you know, is your reality good or not? And if it's not, you know, Nick's your guy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Nick, well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
That was pretty good.
Pretty good. Hey, imitated, never duplicated.
He's got a lot of experience.
There's solid candidates out there, guys.
Yeah, there is. But, you know, like always, you got to show up. You can't not just be like, oh, I like this guy, and then not show up. You know what I mean? That's the part where you know, you got to act on it. So it was good to have him on. You know, him, Alex, Peter, everybody we've had on so far has been – you know, pretty solid. So, like you said, Danny, a lot of good candidates out there. So, man,
but so it's on us if we don't get them in that position, they can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
All right. So, you know how I told you they broke into the mailbox, finally got my ballot in?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They fixed the mailbox. So, it's time to...
They still got your ballot?
No, to do a little bit of research. Let's do some research. Let's, you know, do some research, going to their social media, see...
Oh, yeah.
See what they're really about.
Yeah, informed. I think our episode next... I want to say next Tuesday, it'll just be us, so we can go through that stuff. We have no candidate next week, so we can definitely go through the booklet.
Drop do some words.
Let's go through it, and then jot down some of the social media postings, likes, or whatever, you know, we find about them.
Yeah, I have the screen shared so you can see the likes.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
and then call them out. Call them out. Yeah. Hey, let's do what, you know, the type of pressure that they like to apply, like Nick said, is that, you know, everybody fears if you support someone like Nick and you don't go out and vote in fear that, you know, you're going to be persecuted if he doesn't win and you stay home. Let's do the same thing to them. Let's bring out some of the posts that they have and persecute them for, you know, some of the likes and things that they post out there. Not in a bad way or anything like that, but just to show their true colors.
Yeah, defend your position, mm-hmm. right? So I submitted that form to the Latino caucus. I mean, there's a lot of them. I imagine one of them. Come on.
I'm gonna send them another email saying, hey, I'm offended that you guys are Latino and not, where's the X? You guys need to add an X. I'm missing the X. I feel not inclusive. I feel in danger just being on your website.
You need to appropriately identify yourself.
Something about your website screams cholo to me.
But now, man, I mean, yeah, I think that's, we can definitely do that next week. Go through that. And, you know, it's funny because that, like, having conversations like that is what kind of sparked the podcast to start. So, you know, it'd be cool to do that on an episode, especially.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
March 5th coming up with the primaries. Getting as many people in there so that they're on there on the general election. And, you know, not just that, hopefully November showing up again. You know, we got to show up. It's a 2024 is a huge year. You got to show up twice, you know, by March 5th and again in November. So, you know, we'll be here and
it's free, again, guys.
It's free. Free. Yeah. Free.
You can tell your boss, I got to go.
Yep. You legally have time to go and vote on election day. So work isn't, you know, technically work shouldn't be an issue because legally they have to allow you time to go.
You don't believe me? We're going to do it right here live. Daniel, I got
to
go.
Go for it, man.
Go Dan, for gotta it. I got to
go. But, yeah, I mean, you know, March 5th, that's coming up. And then once you get to November, I mean, honestly, like, people, it's plenty of time to plan your day and go vote, right? Make time to go vote. Here in California, ABC. I think we have a month to vote. So just pick a day. And go do it, you know, vote early, vote on election day, whatever you want to do, just go do it.
Yeah. Voting is cool.
Yeah.
Voting is cool.
Sitting out for squares.
Cool. Oh, shit. I didn't even get the joke. Yeah. Voting is for squares. I mean, oh, shit. If you don't vote, you're a square. There you go. You got it. You go. Damn. Shit. Losers. Jokes. How dare you?
Well, I mean, you guys got anything else? I think that's all I got for now.
No, that's it.
All right, cool. Well, thank everybody for tuning in. Hit the like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff, and show up and vote. Peace be with you.
Don't be losers.
Peace be with you.
Jokes.